A dhíomh a dhíniú se agus fáilta go dí an clár den lá anocht is me se Ivan Hurley agus bemí an seo go dí a thugta clog an nocht chun cuasaí sport a chaint leis gachtainna is an chúnta chiúí an nocht. Yeah, you're welcome along to another edition of the Terrace Talk programme. We're in the middle of November. It's getting a small bit chillier out there as well, which means still plenty of football action going on across the county and beyond. You're welcome along to the show this evening. Before we go any further, just want to say a big thanks to Tim Moynan, who stood in my absence last Monday evening. Tough week for the Hardy family and my wife's family. Unfortunately, we had a sad bereavement in the family, but just want to thank everyone for their lovely messages, support a lot from listeners here to this programme as well over the last week and a half or so, and very comforting to know that the listeners are so supportive in a time of grief. But I was going to debate whether I come in tonight or not and take the programme, but my late father-in-law was a big listener of the programme, and he'd often give out about myself, John and Liam would be discussing, and maybe that we were too light on some of the footballers or anything else. He had a heart for Kerry football, and I felt I'd be doing the man wrong by not coming in and taking the programme tonight. So we'll get through it over the next 2 hours or so. Plenty of football action to talk about between the district finals and semi-finals, of course, action-packed over the weekend, and of course the three teams representing Kerry and Munster out next weekend as well. We'll have Kerry All-Star on the show this evening, and Siobhan O'Shea, of course, who won the All-Star over the weekend, which is fantastic for her, her first All-Star as well, which is quite hard to believe that Siobhan only has one All-Star. We'll be chatting to her a little later on in the hour. We'll also be chatting about Ireland, of course, what a fantastic result that was yesterday in Budapest. Troy Parrott hat-trick, a buzzer beater in Liam's terminology with basketball, had to go out and win that one, and what a fantastic achievement it was. And maybe you saw in the crowd, I'm not sure if you spotted like I did, but there was an Irish flag with the Kerry FC logo on it, and we'll talk to a man who's living in England who had that flag with him yesterday and explain how the Kerry FC logo managed to get its way to Budapest for the big Ireland game. And then later on the programme as well, we'll be chatting to Ben Murphy, of course, who's heading out to Brisbane to play Aussie Rules football next year. So Ben will be in to discuss his move and what it all entails and when he's heading off and everything else in between. As always, you can get in touch with the programme. We're on 083 300 3300. You can text or WhatsApp us on that number. You can email terracetalk at Radio Kerry, or you can call 066 712 3666. The text lines and phone lines are all open of maybe what you were at over the weekend or what you were watching. But we'll start with football and men's football, joined as ever by Liam Brosson and John Kennedy, who were taking a close eye on everything over the weekend. Lads, you're very welcome to the programme. I suppose we'll head west first, Liam. The one trophy that was given out the weekend was the Mourns of Dingle West Kerry Championship Final. I heard everyone was looked after by our lovely accountant here downstairs in Lisbowl. Great venue, great pitch, and a fantastic final as well, Liam.
Yeah, and a fantastic atmosphere at it. Look, I suppose the Gaeltacht picked up their 12th title, their first since 2017. So it just shows, like, when you think about it, how hard it is to win a district competition.
Yeah.
No, and they're one of many. I think it's 1977 since Castle won it. No, so it's their medals, you know, that are hard got, and when you win one, you take a bit of pride in it. And it was a kind of a game that ebbed and flowed. You know, at one stage it was 2-11 to 1-9. Obviously Keen O'Grady, I don't know, was inspired, I think, was it 11 points, John, altogether in the whole match. But I suppose in one way Gaeltacht were probably going in as favourites, because we're looking at them as intermediate champions, and they're out next weekend, and you'd be wondering had they one eye on next weekend. But I heard a very good interview from Fergal O'Shea today on the radio, and he was on about, like, how they put out their strongest team. They were missing Rory Begley and Aidan Welsh. Yeah. All right, but that was true injury. But everything else was their strongest that they could put out. So they did play the competition homage. They weren't just going out fielding a team. They went out. But fair play to Castle Gregory. They went at them. No, there's a couple of wily old footballers there. Alan Fitzgerald is still at it there at the Virgil the Square. A lot of Kerry minors and Kerry under-20s, Tomás O'Donnell. You know, so they were always going to be no pushover. And at the end, the Gaeltacht only scraped over the line, even though they were probably comfortable at one stage, but Castle never gave up. And I'd say the Gaeltacht boys were happy to hear the final whistle, because with 1 point in it, it could go anyway.
Yeah, 100%. And John, just on that, I suppose that Lee mentioned how, you know, Gaeltacht, it can be hard to win these, with, especially when you're looking at, you know, Dingle being kind of the senior club in West Kerry for so many years. Obviously, Gaeltacht up there now next year, so they're very, very strong and in that sort of zone for a Munster Championship now as well, after winning the intermediate. So it can be had, or can be hard rather, to win these districts, and when you do win them, you do value those medals, don't you?
Yeah, definitely, Ivan. I think, and you know, Dingle have been dominant for the last number of years, but on Gaeltacht got their opportunity this year, and I suppose they're on the crest of a wave, you know, having won the intermediate here in Kerry, going into Munster campaign next weekend. And like Liam said, you know, they put out their strongest team available. You know, there was one or two guys, as he said there, Aidan Welch and Rory Abigleek, weren't fully fit. They didn't risk them, but it was an opportunity for others. And it's always great to keep things ticking over, and a good championship game the week before you go into Munster. And certainly Castle Gregory, you know, they were really went to the wire. You know, Fergal O'Shea's interview there on Radio Kerry earlier on today, he said it, that they really pushed them. And that's what district championships are about. And there's always a winner and a loser, unfortunately. But Gaeltacht just got over the line. And, you know, it'll stand them in good stead for next week.
Yeah. Just to interrupt from the sport, lads, just for 1 minute. A notice on the roads across the kingdom this evening. At Loch Across, that's the Ballyduff to Ballybunion Road. It's closed at the moment due to an accident. Gardaí say fortunately the crash was minor and the road should reopen in the next 20 minutes or so by around 6:30. So that's Loch Across on the road between Ballyduff and Ballybunion. That's closed there at the moment, if that's your journey home from work or anywhere else across the county this evening. Liam, I like, you obviously can't value enough winning a district, but winning it the week before a Munster semi-final, that's huge for Gaeltacht, and that kind of confidence. You know, if they were beaten there late, the Castlegar came right back into it, listened to it live here on Saturday. You know, if they'd come back into it and had managed maybe to beat Gaeltacht, could have been a right kick in the stones before they head in maybe kind of next week into a big game against in their Munster semi-final.
Oh yeah, and especially even after coming from winning the intermediate and didn't pick up your district competition, it gives them great confidence going forward, you know. And I suppose there is one man there that we've talked about so much this year, John, even when West Kerry as well, was Cathal O'Bigliuc. I think he's a guy that's on the lips of many person out there that have seen him throughout the year, and he was man of match again the weekend, you know. So hopefully we'll see him, you know, maybe in the early stages of the league in the McGrath Cup in the green and gold, but he'll have a busy campaign before then for the next couple of weeks. But without a doubt, I think, look, breeding, winning breeds a kind of a mentality in a team, and you know, it gives you a pep in your step. And when you go into a dressing rooms on a Tuesday night and a cold night and probably a windy night behind the Gaeltacht, yeah, you know, and you were after have another medal in your back pocket, you know, it gives that little bit of a bounce. And to have that going into next weekend now, into the Munster campaign, so they can concentrate now completely on the Munster campaign. And what I always was a firm believer, and I see the Crokes used to do it in East Kerry. Now, if the Gaeltacht weren't playing last weekend, they'd be looking for a challenge match. So, you know, they had a very good match ahead of them. And I think that it's important for district competitions that if you come out for intermediate or junior or whatever, that you take them serious and you have a go at it, because you can have a competition, like I said, where you'll have a serious game on the weekend. But if not, you're going to be trying to get a challenge match. And I think the Gaeltacht have looked at that this year and they really went at it and they came away with the spoils.
And the final time nicely as well. John, just in general, and not just the West Kerry final, but massive crowds kind of reported all the games the weekend in the district championship. It means a lot to the supporters of these clubs as well, you know, to go out and kind of be top in your district is probably the bragging rights for a lot of them for the next year as well. But the crowds right across into Killarney for the Uranu Cup and down in South Kerry, it's great to see it. And we have spoken during the year about, you know, the crowds at games being a bit on the small side, but always do come out and support the district championships, don't they?
Yeah, there's tremendous support for the district championships all over the county, Ivan. And, you know, as you said, it's the pride of the place, the bragging rights for that following 12
tribal,
months.
John,
it's tribal,
yeah.
You know, and there's people from outside districts coming in to see the games as well. But I think, you know, there's rumblings that the district championships might be changed, they mightn't be played, and there's a lot of different views on it. But I think that, you know, the crowds are answering, going through the turnstiles. The games are absolutely fantastic in all the districts. Some fantastic games, some great football being played. And, you know, we see the county guys out there again, leading by example. That's all very positive.
Yeah, definitely. The other final that took place the weekend was, of course, between Beaufort and Milltown Castlemaine. And I think, Liam, if you ever wanted an advertisement for a district championship final, this is probably the one you'd use as your promotion video. A huge crowd again, and a late enough draw from Milltown Castlemaine to draw level with Beaufort to force us back for another day again in Mid-Kerry.
Yeah, we're on about tribal, like this is as close as you get really between Beaufort and Milltown. Now, a lot of people I was talking to during the week, they were all kind of favouring Beaufort, because when you look at Beaufort, they had 10 of the starting 15 of Mid-Kerry. You know, we're always talking about them, how good they are, and they probably should be achieving more than what they are with the team they have. Mm-hmm. So this game was going to be always a big ask for Milltown. But when you look at Milltown and you kind of look at them, they're up in the high divisions in the county league. They're a county championship team. They're a senior club team, so they were never going to die down that easy. And obviously, you know, they stayed at it at one stage. To be fair, Beaufort went down to 13 men.
Two red cards at the same time, wasn't there? Yeah.
And Milltown went down to 14. You know, so it was always, I'd say there was everything in it. You know, there was always going to be a battle, but very good footballers all over the field. You look at Beaufort, Mike Breen, Sean O'Brien, Kieran Kennedy, you know, Jack O'Connor, Liam Carey. These are the guys we've been talking about in the last number of weeks. Mm-hmm. But then you look at Milltown, and you have likes of Parrin, full back. You know, David Roche, centre back. Brendan Casey, who I've, you know, admired a lot. You know, slight in stature, but never gives up there in the forward line. And you know, with likes of Aino O'Connor. You know, anything inside the halfway line, you could say, if he puts it on the ground on a nice day, that's a point. You know, so there's a lot of good footballers in teams like that.
Yeah, most definitely. John, the talk of the year was kind of finishing games with extra time and penalties and everything else, but I don't think anybody out in Clare watched that game ever give you out it was going to be a replay here. It's definitely one that maybe if you wanted the first one to definitely get out for the renewal, I think.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the finals, you know, in finals, there should be a replay, really. Yeah. You know, this extra time or penalties, no, not the first day, definitely. And, you know, on the game, we'll say Milltown Castlemaine, they had a few tough defeats throughout the year, but they're after bouncing back well and getting to the Mid-Kerry final.
This will give massive belief.
And, you know, they have the players. It's always difficult after a defeat how you're going to react. They have reacted very positively. This is a very good Beaufort side. You know, one of the favourites for the intermediate. Liam has said it there. They're led by their two county men, Sean O'Brien and Mike Breen. But all over the field, the Coffees, you know, their full forward line, Kieran Kennedy, superb footballers. Mm-hmm. But likewise, Milltown have. And another chance. It's great. It's whetting the appetite for another, what should be another great game.
Yeah, and that kind of district championship, John, does allow you kind of bounce back. And we're going to talk about Crokes maybe after the break and everything else in East Kerry after, you know, a disappointing end for them in the county championship. You know, it does give you that maybe a chance to bounce back before the end of the year, kind of before the Christmas, where the football's kind of thrown into the storage room until January or February again. We'll be looking forward to a county league. But it kind of gives you that sort of maybe last chance to salvage something out of the year as well.
Yeah, you settle the wagons and you sit down, you know, you'll give it a week or 10 days, get back and get back on the field again. And I think, you know, Paul Ganey said it a few years ago after a Kerry defeat. He said it was great to get the bag the following week and go with the club. I think that's what it's all about. Look, there's, you know, we've seen throughout this past week, Ivan, you've witnessed it yourself, and you'll see the tragedy on the roads. There's more to life than football, but isn't it great to get out training of a Tuesday night and get back after, whether it is a victory or a defeat, get back out there again and get back on the horse again, as they say, and go again.
Yeah, good for the mind and the body, as they say. Get your comments and texts coming in, 083 300 3300. You can text or WhatsApp us there, or you can call Niamh. It's 066 712 3666. We'll be back with plenty more football chat after we take this quick break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Now, so you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We'll move from Mid-Kerry down to South Kerry. It's great to have all the different championships and to be moving between both. It'll be a Skellig Rangers St Mary's final, John, after two relatively cracking semi-finals. The St Mary's Michael's Five Moreland was in the balance for a good bit. Skellig Rangers with a double score win over Waterville, 10 points to 5. Again, South Kerry championship championship, it's always a tribal sort of a note to it, John, and you always wanted to get to the final against maybe the town team in St Mary's as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Ivan, and you know, Skellig Rangers double victory or double scores over Waterville, 10-5. You know, the likes of Dara Sullivan and Brendan Murphy, there, Kieran Keating leading light for Skellig. Waterville, Barry O'Dwyer still going strong down there. I think Dylan Huggard and James Fitzgerald came on as subs and both scored. You know, it was While Skellig were always in top, you could never rule out Waterville. That's the beauty of divisional championships, you know. Yeah. And but as you said, look, the Carrot is a place in the final. Semi-finals are there to be won. And in the other one, I suppose, St Mary's, 3-17-15 points victory over St Michael's Filemore. I suppose that we were talking off air with Liam. The big one here is Brian Sheehan is going for his 16th. South Kerry Championship medal.
Like. Mad, isn't it?
Still going well, kicking the points in from the goal.
And I was below that game the weekend, and he was just orchestrating everything, you know, from the goals all the ways out. But St Mary is very impressive. But I will give it to Filemore. They're a team that never give up.
They battled hard,
even though they had a bit of a breeze in the first half. No, Mary's were still. No, they were comfortable, but just coming up to half time, they got on a bit of a run, and from lovely sweet kicking from Ian O'Sullivan. To be fair, kicked 12 points, 4 2 pointers. No, very impressive, as will St Mary's all over the field, really. But Jack Daly and Daniel Daly and these guys, Anthony Cunlan, they're lively, they're fit. No, and like I said, our goalkeeper inside, and he's like a fly goalkeeper now, Ivan.
I can
like
imagine.
Soccer. He's
last
coming out the
back.
Field, and they're very well organised. Once he goes up the field, they're getting their four back. So it's the Skellig Waterville match. You'd wonder by looking at the scoreline.
Was it played on the old rules?
Was it played on the old rules, or what happened? Like, 10 points to 4, what kind of a breeze or whatever was down there? But look, it's going to be a once-off game, and usually down in South Kerry, when teams meet like that, local rivalry as well, they'll be skin and hair flying down there. But St Mary's are very impressive.
Yeah, 3-2 it was at half time between Skellig and Waterville. Definitely the scorelines we're not used to kind of seeing at the moment in football, but again, South Kerry often gets the brunt of the weather off the sea and everything else. But there's something, John, about the South Kerry Championship. I know you're a good North Kerry man, you'll disagree, and North Kerry's right up there as well. But when it comes to kind of district finals and I suppose the pageantry kind of around it and everything else, there is something about South Kerry that sort of wanting to win in that tribal thing, and a lot of the time up against Brian Sheehan and St Mary's and the town team. There is something when it comes to the South Kerry final that kind of catches the attention of everybody in the county, doesn't it?
There's no doubt about that, you know, and all the clubs, they buy into it. And the intriguing thing about South Kerry is that, you know, it's like every district, so passionate, so competitive, the tribal warfare, but the way they come together then for the South Kerry team in the county championship.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, like, and they really, it's like a club team. But that championship, I suppose every district pride, the presentation that they have for the final, you know, the pageantry about it, the media and everything, it's absolutely, they're pride in their own place. South Kerry's no different. Huge championship. The town, as they say, St Mary's, it's like North Kerry with Listowel, and you go, the bigger team, they're always wanting to have a cut off them and to beat them and to lower the colours. That's what it's all about, really, isn't it?
I suppose, John, when you sit down in January as a manager of a team, you know, the first competition you want to win is probably the intermediate June or whatever, but the next competition that's mentioned in is the either O'Donoghue Hope, North Kerry, or whatever it is. And it is a huge competition.
Mm-hmm. No, it most definitely is, Liam. And I think that's, as you said, it's that sort of tribalism of sort of wanting to knock the other colours off the ESB poles in your area is definitely one. And it's sort of like, you know, you think about like local derbies and sort of the Premier League and everything, just that bragging rights going to work the next morning as well. And a lot of fellas working together who would be from both clubs or maybe calling down to the farm to someone in there of the other club as well. So there's definitely something with the districts. On to East Kerry then, lads. Two semi-finals the weekend. Kemer's first attempt at an O'Donoghue Cup fell short against Rathmore in the semi-finals, and is the men from East Kerry and Rathmore will be taking on again the big town team and Dr. Crokes. They're going for a 32nd O'Donoghue Cup. Beat Spaw by not a huge margin in the end. Spaw came rightly back into it. Crokes were well ahead at half time, but Spaw came right back into it towards the end. But Crokes probably never looked like getting beaten in that one. As I said, Rathmore beating Kemer by 4 points. Rathmore Croke set to be a good Odon Hook Cup final this year.
It's going to be a cracker, and I suppose before we start, we want to wish Keane Tobin yeah. a speedy recovery. A nasty injury we're hearing, you know, but knowing Keane, he'll be back sooner or yeah. later. But look, I suppose Croke's probably number one all year. You know, if we're picking a team out, that's and then when it comes to the O'Donoghue Cup, they are a club that take fierce pride in it. I know last year there was a bit of a he cup, all right, because it ran into their All Ireland campaign and stuff like that. But you know, they're the one club that really, really, when they want to pull up the socks and go at an O'Donoghue Cup team, they are, and they're topping the charts, I suppose, now at the moment, 2:22 to 3:13. 1:13 to 2 points at half time. You'd be kind of saying at half time the game was over. But fair play to Spa. You know, they kept battling away with the likes of Gary Vaughan and these guys, never gave up. But Tony Brosnan kicking 1:11 again. No, if we can get that fella in that form in the green and gold jersey,
put
can
his
you
hand
imagine
up.
Him side with David Clifford and Paul Ganey and all these guys? You know, it's frightening. No, so it's going to make a very good O'Donoghue Cup final between Rathmore and Dr. Crokes.
An injury to Gavin White. He was replaced by Brian Looney.
Yeah.
Not sure how significant it is. That could have a big bearing in it, because it looks like to be a cracker in prospect between them, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd like to reiterate what Liam said about Keane Tobin having a great year for Spa.
He's
played some great football throughout the county championship and that, and he it is a nasty enough injury. We wish him well, and that's the last thing you want to see in any club.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of rivalry is there, you don't want to see an injury like that, and we wish him well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Crokes had it up on their social media straight away after the game as well, which is lovely to see as well. Again, the kind of East Kerry one, it's your Fitzgerald Stadium. It's it's not in the wilds of North Kerry or South Kerry either, but inside in the big county ground inside in Clarence. That'll be a great occasion between Crokes and Rathmore. Finding lads for the district, I think we've not the majority of them up now. Will be the North Kerry final, of course. John, I'll bring you in this one. Knocknagoshal in their first ever North Kerry final again against the big town team in the Stole. I was up that direction yesterday, and the green and gold is going up for Knocknagoshal, and signs on the side of the road and everything. There must be great excitement in the village out there.
Yeah, it's a novel pairing, Ivan. You know, it's their first time being in the final. It is well documented now, I think. Very tight panel. You know, I think 18 players at the last semi-final, you know.
Was their first semi-final as well?
Semi-final as well. But like Liam and Noah, they have the nucleus of a very good side. A lot of good young fellas. And, you know, great management team led by Shane O'Connell there, and his father Jack and Niall Welch and Danny Welch. Great guys. It's a big ask. They're coming up against the town of Listowel, and we know what Listowel are, the standard bearers. You know, they're the gauge for everybody in North Kerry. They have a fantastic, you know, they're in De Murphy is leading a great management team there. You know, the number of teams they're fielding it underage, it shows the numbers they have. Mm-hmm. And you go through the lads, Eddie Healy, Jojo Grimes, Eddie Brown, all these guys, you know, they're favourites, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is the beauty about divisional championship.
Knocknagoshal getting their day in the sun.
Yeah, in the sun.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to settle for a day in the sun either. No. You know, speaking to a few fellas from Knocknagoshal, you know, it's great to be there, but, you know, we'll have one cut at this, like, and it's outside in Brosnan. It's going to be a massive day for football in the district.
Yeah, and it's obviously that kind of pageantry that goes with the final as well. I read in the Kerryman during the week that Knocknagoshal were 100-1 with the local bookmakers, maybe out in Listowel or wherever else, for the North Kerry championship. So there might be a few people cashing in, the believers or whatever you want to call it. Lads, I suppose we look ahead to the weekend action, and again we know there'll be a few district finals waiting for the kind of the finality of the dates and times for all those and everything else. But the games we do know that are on, of course, there are three club teams are out in Munster action. We may start with the seniors and work our way down. Liam, it's Dingle taking on Mungret St Paul's. Again, we were chatting off here about how important maybe Ostertag Park is for Dingle in that one. And again, Limerick side, it's always kind of a hard one to judge. It's, you know, you read it on paper, you say Dingle will be clear favourite. favourites and they might, you know, have a couple of points to spare. But this time of year, November, we've seen it in the past in these Munster Championships, you can't take anyone lightly.
Exactly, Ivan. And you just don't know what kind of a day you could have. But you know, I heard, was it 2 weeks ago, that Dingle could have it at home in Dingle. And I would have been surprised if they took him back to Dingle, because I think it would suit Mungret to go back to Dingle, because they'd be used to that club ground and, you know, tight pitch and stuff like that. Whereas Dingle, open spaces, you know, they have got a lot of joy inside in Tralee now, so it's like a home ground to them. And look, I think Mungret are one of the biggest clubs in Munster, aren't they, John? I think personnel wise,
yeah,
you know, they're a big club. They're inside, in they're kind of in the city and kind of out of the city. You know, so you won't know what they could bring to the table. And I saw Newcastle West actually play this year in one of the county championship matches, and I was impressed with them. And Mungret put them to the sword. You know, so they're not bad. They'll probably give it everything, but Dingle will have to be on their toes. And no, I think it's very important. You know, I suppose, and with the forward that Dingle have, that you know, you finish. Because we'd probably have the better finishers here in Kerry, yeah. Whereas that was always the kind of the Achilles heel with the likes of Limerick and these places. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the Kerry forwards are that bit cuter, but they'll be put to the test the weekend.
Yeah, that home advantage, John, probably is important in Munster, isn't it? I know, again, Tralee as opposed to Dingle, but bringing kind of Limerick down, you'd be hopeful from a Dingle point of view, they won't bring a huge crowd maybe down with them on a Sunday at 1 o'clock. Dingle, we've seen the support they've had all year as well. They'll know about it coming into Tralee. That kind of home sort of localised environment, the stadium they're used to playing in as well, is huge for Dingle.
Huge advantage, really, you know, the travel side of it and all that, and a pitch they've played on several times. It's a kind of a contrast in the outlook from both teams, I'd say. You know, Dingle haven't been unlucky, finally winning the Bishop Mainan and going into Munster now, even though they were in Munster before. But Mungret, it's new territory, first county title at senior level. You know, they'll be, is it mission accomplished for them? Is this bonus territory? You know, nobody knows, only themselves. But, you know, their manager, Kevin O'Hagan, and they have former Limerick footballer Pat Ranhan as a coach, and a man that has been a great friend of Kerry football, Billy Mangan. He used to drive the lads up and down to training. He's in the backroom team. These are very astute guys. Good footballing men. And you know, they have Killian Ryan, who Limerick footballer, likes Oisin Moss and Jack McCarthy, John Hutton, the full forward. They're all decent footballers. Have they come up against this level before? Unlikely.
No.
Unlikely.
But you need a fit Dingle team, or not a fully fit, injury-free exactly. Dingle team.
Yeah. That will be the big one coming into the weekend. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's a great chance for them. They have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
I'm not saying what they're thinking, but they're county champions. They're on top of the pile in Limerick. Yeah. And now they have a free shot in Munster.
Yeah, we saw the strength of Limerick this year as well, getting to the Tailteann Cup final. So definitely moves been done for Limerick football. Just to note on the other, I suppose we're always interested in senior football. The Bars, of course, getting the better of Clonmel Commercials in what was a fairly decent game as well. Clonmel never let them get away the weekend. And then the previous weekend we saw, of course, Aroga Ennis, they beat Rat Gormagh. So they're meeting in the other semi-final also on Sunday, that one at 3:30 in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Again, if you were to look at it from a bookmaker's point of view, Liam, you'd be saying a Cork-Kerry Munster final most likely.
Yeah, that was a big result for the Bars the weekend, because Clonmel had a lot of players back. You know, Quinlan was back full forward. Yeah, and you know, so a massive result for the Bars. So they will be itching to have a go at a Kerry team, I suppose.
And on in Clonmel as well, which is always a tough place to go.
Interesting man on the sideline for the Bars is the great Jimmy Barry Murphy.
Yeah.
There you go,
First time being involved. It's amazing, but really thriving in it. And saw him being interviewed there, saw an interview by him, and delighted. And, talking about the grit and spirit they're showing. Mm. But, like, one of the legends of our game in both hurling and football, isn't it great to see him having an input?
An input, yeah. And obviously, so hard to come out of Cork as well as a senior team. In the intermediate then, our Gaeltacht lads are heading up to Cara Finn. They're taking right out to the club ground. No chance of Ennis, although I think Ennis had to be moved during the weekend. The water was out for the hurling match. They had to move it out to the banner. So Cara Finn, the venue for Gaeltacht. A tough one across the ferry, John, there maybe for Gaeltacht.
Yeah, Cara Finn, a very proud club. You know, they'll be tough not to crack. But I think that the experience that Gaeltacht have, and I think the competition in Kerry, And how keen it is, will have a big bearing on the game. But look, the victory last Sunday in the West Kerry final, Gaeltacht are favourites, and they should be winning the game. But you know, this is a tough one.
Banana skin up there.
Yeah. And these guys, the Clare teams, when, you know, intermediate and senior in particular, when they come out of Clare, they really give a good account of themselves. The standards are different in and the format in the way the club scene is. So the junior, you know, is not as competitive. But certainly the intermediate, and they'll be relishing a crack at Gaeltacht next Sunday.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Munster, you obviously look at the Kerry team in this and say that's the one you want to have the crack of. Of course, they beat Stradbally in the quarterfinal, also in Corrifin. And again, we talked about the home advantage for Dingle. And again, bring you out to that kind of club ground, although they said maybe the wet and wild might suit on Gaeltacht, we're well used to Galleris. And of course, it's the other side from Clonmel, Clonmel Óg, taking on Ballymac the weekend, that one on Saturday at 1 o'clock. It seems a while since we talked about Ballymacallan, Liam. I think with the maybe lack of the kind of the mid or the Brendan's board kind of championship and everything else, that it feels like a while since we talked about Ballymacallan, but I'm sure plenty of preparations going on in the background.
Oh, I'm sure, and I'm sure they're going to be really looking forward to it as well, to get it going again. But like we said, no more like the Gaeltacht, a bit of a banana skin, because you're going into the unknown. And like you said, Ivan, you know, these teams are looking at Kerry teams with the last couple of years, and we have had a very proud record in the competition. You know, and they'll be saying to themselves, we have these guys at home, we can have one lash. It's a once-off game.
Yeah.
Have one go at them. But look, I think, and I agree with John, that when he said the competition down here has been so intense and so the standard has been very high, I think it kind of makes you battle-hardened. And definitely Ballymac have been battle-hardened, because with the last couple of years, they've been knocking at the door, and I'd say they were beating themselves up more than what everybody else was. You know, that they thought they should be out of there quicker. They got over the line this year, and I think this is something they'll relish now, but they'll have to dig into the trenches now to get out of these games.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like, John, you know, you look at Clonmel Óg and you're talking about Clonmel Commercials, just goes to show the strength of Tipperary football is, and I'm sure Clonmel Óg inside and Clonmel won't be the easiest task for Ballymac either. They won't take them lightly.
Yeah, hugely proud club, Clonmel, and great football people. It's interesting they brought the Tipperary, under the late Philly Ryan, they brought the Tipperary National League games out of Simple Stadium back to Clonmel. Intimidating atmosphere, that clannish crowd, you know, that you take every advantage.
It's a huge
footballing area and great people. And, you know, but from Ballymac point of view, they'll be itching to get back. You know, it took them, they had a few disappointing days, but they got over the line, plenty of time to celebrate. And to come down from the high and get back up there again, tricky one. But Ballymac to proceed to the next round.
Are we saying three Kerry teams, so Liam, that we'll be looking forward to Munster finals?
I think so, Ivan. Yeah. Now, going by what we have seen from the Kerry teams, they're well equipped. You know, they're powerful. They have good scorers, and once they're injury free, that's the main thing. We don't know where the panels are or where the players are, but there's a lot of good guys in all the three teams. And if they have their main guys, their main scorers, their main ball winners, if they're all fit and ready, I think they'll be all in a Munster the final, hopefully.
Yeah. Ivan, just one on the district championships. Isn't it great that they're over so early in the year that we're not having to go in on Stephen's Day to watch a match? That actually is a good one, John. We've seen them, I suppose, again, split seasons and everything else, but they were the ones that kind of kept getting kicked down the road with some of them, and kind of semi-finals might have to wait, or a final. It is nice that we're kind of at this stage of the year that it's kind of, look, you can see the club player getting Christmas off, bar maybe the likes of your three teams we're just talking about, they're heading into Munster. But it is nice that they're kind of over nice early. And as much as it was nice to go out maybe on Stephen's Day or the 27th or 28th to go to one of these finals, it is nice that they're kind of done and dusted and the players do get their well-deserved break.
Yeah, spot on. The listener is spot on. Or your listener is spot on there, Ivan. I think that, you know, we're passionate football men. We love a break around the Christmas. Yeah. It's a time for family. It's a time to be doing bits and pieces around the house. You're away all the year, and close it, put away the bag, and think about it in the 1st of January. Do you know, I think that's the mentality. But like, it's a tribute to the county board here, the way we said a few minutes ago about the three Kerry teams. They've had plenty of time from the finals, you know, to unwind and to prepare for Munster. And you know, the number of years back, you'd play your final on a weekend, and you'd be out the following weekend. No time to celebrate, and you know, injuries and so on and so forth. But I think it's a credit to the district boards and our own board in our career, you know, that the finals, we're at a final stage without even, you know, it has slipped away and is played in relatively good weather. And I think that most of the finals will be played in 2 weeks' time, and you know, job done. players can unwind then for a month or 6 weeks and then get back at it. That's what it's all about, because it's an amateur game, and you know there's nothing worse than to go on right up to Christmas. You're interfering in a family time and I think that's not on.
And the year starts then again in January.
The year starts again, yeah, I know. And we have time for our Christmas quiz then when all the districts are done. We'd have been talking about football anyways. We have to go to break. We'll be talking to Sheaf Roche after these. 083 300 3300 or 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
That award goes to Kerry. Sheaf Roche.
Well done, Sheaf.
There you go, Sheaf Roche picking up her award at the Ladies All-Stars, of course, the weekend. We're joined firstly by Breed O'Shea, of course, one of our main broadcasters for ladies football here on Radio Kerry as well. Breed, you're welcome to the programme. We're still kind of dissecting how was this possibly Sheaf Roche's first All-Star award. It's kind of hard to believe the ink that's printed in front of you.
Yeah, no, look, it is hard to believe that. I met the girl yesterday on her way home in the train, and it was, that kind of went, it's the first one, but no, we'll add to that. But no, like, I suppose what you have to say with Sheaf is there was a couple of years that Sheaf was out with injury. And you see, those were the years that, especially I think we got to one All-Ireland final. Yes, she came on that day, but she was heavily injured and had missed two games beforehand and stuff like that. So last year she was unlucky, I do believe, to not get an All-Star. But I think maybe she lost out in the fact of that we had won the All-Ireland and they couldn't be seen to give the whole team to us.
Yeah, fair enough. On that note, we had seven nominees and only one All-Star, which is nearly a disappointing return from so many great footballers nominated. Was there any couple that you might have said could have got onto the team, really, yourself?
I was surprised that Eilish Lynch didn't. That she has had a stellar campaign the whole way through, league, everything like that. I'm not 100% sure, a bit like the men's, that is everything looked back on? Are all league games looked back on? I'm presuming it is like the men's, that there is a set gang of people that sit down and they pick it, and there's so many from Munster, so many from Connacht, so many from Leinster and Ulster. So everyone has their own viewpoint and their own opinion. And look, as we see in the men's and the hurling and the football, it normally is the two teams that have ended up in the All-Ireland finals that dominate. Was surprised that Meath only got four. Must admit that now, because it wasn't a case of they were a surprise package. Like, they've come back from winning two in a row 2 years ago. So I was surprised that they didn't get a few more. Maybe one or two of the Dublin ones were a bit suspect in my eyes, but everyone has their own opinion on that. Like, Sinead Goldrick picked up her eighth award, so you can take that from her. But then they had a few new ones that have pushed in, like Kate Sullivan, yes, a corner forward. She is an outstanding player and on the rise. But I would put Eilish Lynch ahead of Jess Tobin for the cornerback position. But that's me speaking as a Kerry person.
I was just going to say, is that your Kerry bias coming out in you, Breed O'Shea? It wouldn't
be
like
totally.
You.
Yeah, but then we have to look as well that at Waterford, they've just got their first All-Star since 2007. And that was Rebecca Hamilton back in the day, Emma Murray. And we saw a few weeks ago above in Mallow, the Emma Murray driving on her team to win a Munster title at club level against Southern Gales. So, like, it is to note that Waterford are a coming team as well. Like, that's 2007 to 25, the long time with no All-Star.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, a long time without an All-Star was Sheaf Roche. She finally has one, and she's actually taken the time out of her busy schedule to join us on Terrace Talk this evening. Sheaf, you're very welcome along, and massive congratulations to you.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
No, absolute pleasure. It's not the Brendan Martin Cup, but kind of the personal accolades are a nice one as well, and one a nice one, I imagine, for your mental peace at home as well.
Yeah, it's a nice award to get. I've been up there the last few years, and you know, it's been nice to be up there with the other girls when they got their awards and their All-Stars over the last few years. As you said, it's not the Brendan Martin Cup that we wanted this year. But yeah, it's nice at the end of the season to get a bit of recognition. So happy out to get my first All-Star.
Yeah, the personal recognition is nice. And look, I know it's kind of a team game, but you know, everyone puts in their own effort, and I'd imagine away from the team and gym sessions and everything else. So it is a nice one to get recognised at the end of the year. And as you said yourself, look, it mightn't be the you know, the trophy that's on offer at the end of the season, but at the end of the day, it's a nice one for you to win yourself. And I'm sure it'll be one that you look back in years to come, that especially your first one is always nice.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very proud day for myself and my family and the club down here, Southern Gales, and Derry Nan as well. You know, Caroline Kelly, I remember her winning her All-Star Award in 2017, I think it was, and my mom drove me back to Ballinskellig when she was coming home the next day, and there was bonfires and all, and I remember being back there for that. And then obviously Anna getting one last year. You know, they're two great inspirations and two players I would have looked up to. Probably don't tell Anna too much, but yeah, she's a great role model to have around the place. So, you know, delighted now to follow in their footsteps as part of Southern Gales.
Yeah, to be named that team is a lovely one. I suppose, Shiva, just about the year as well, it might have been a disappointing defeat in the semi-final at the end, but, you know, when you think about under new management and everything else, it was a fairly successful year. I know you probably wanted to go that one step further and get into that All-Ireland final and potentially go on and win it, but plenty of groundwork done looking ahead to 2026 and what's to come.
Yeah, definitely plenty of groundwork put in. You know, we had a great start to the year, and getting to the league final was definitely a bonus. And then, you know, coming away with that silverware as part of a newly formed kind of group was, you know, was very satisfying for the group. And then to push on and win the Munster final was great for us. So, yeah, we had a disappointing end, and, you know, we would have loved to get back to an All-Ireland final again to give yourself a chance. But, you know, it's not how it worked out this year, but we'll be back again next year, and, you know, we're going to train hard and hopefully, you know, go one step further again next year.
Yeah, oftentimes, Shiva, they say in sport that kind of, you know, a defeat can kind of bring you on, that, I know it's never nice to lose, but, you know, we probably look back maybe at that defeat and maybe use it as kind of your fuel going to next year when you're going back into the tough slog in January and February under the wet nights and everything else. You can kind of use that as sort of a bit of maybe motivation to go that extra step next year.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we found that the few All-Irelands we lost before we won one, you know, you always went back the next year with that in the back of your mind, and it pushed you on. And, you know, you have that bit of extra motivation when you're in those tough training sessions and doing those tough runs, that, you know, you have that defeat in the back of your mind, and all you want to do is go one step further than the next year. So that'll be, you know, motivation again for this year to come.
Yeah, Breida, just on Shiva there while she's on the line with us. I mean, she's mentioning how she's a couple of role models down in Southern Gales in the club, but this lady is definitely a role model to the next generation as well, isn't she?
Oh, totally. And like, she's putting no pressure on Anna Galvin there with saying she's a role model, that maybe Anna Galvin will stay on again for another while. But no, Shiva is teaching a new generation. And I remember interviewing the likes of Shiva and Niamh Ní Chonaic Cór for those first All-Ireland, and they were talking back to the gang that had come before them and how they had seen them play in Croke Park, and that's how they wanted to do, and they wanted to be a Kerry Ladies up in Croke Park. Whereas now Shiva and her cohort around her, they're inspiring the girls that, no, actually, we can go a step further. We can win the Brendan Martin. We saw the Brendan Martin back in Kerry. We saw it in our national school. And in fairness to the girls, they brought it around to, I'd say, nearly every national school in the county last year. So every girl got to see that. So it's that belief that, OK, if they can do it, I can do it, and that I can win an All-Star too. Like, yes, we saw All-Stars last year with Kayleigh Cronin, Louise Hartick, Aoife Delan, name them out. But to see one this year with Shiva, when there was no Brendan Martin, it's like, oh, okay, we're still there. We can still do it. So for Shiva, the role model that she is presenting to the younger girls of the county is unbelievable. And we can see that coming true with our underage structure, because that under-16 final that I saw earlier on this year was some of the best football I've seen played by ladies in a long, long time. So they will be the ones that hopefully I will be interviewing in a couple of years' time, saying that, yes, they were inspired by the likes of Shiva winning the Brendan Martin.
Yeah, and just on that, Breida, as well, I mean, look at, you know, talking about the winning the All-Star Award is kind of it is a very personal accolade, and that's important then for the, you know, as you said, the kind of the schools down there and everything else, that even despite not winning the overall trophy at the end of the year and the Brendan Martin, that you still have this to celebrate at the end of the year. And it's probably a good reminder to, you know, the youngsters down there in Southern Gales kicking up the football and everything else in you know, difficult enough conditions and weather wise and everything else, that, you know, it is all worth it, and it's a nice one to celebrate at the end of the year as well.
Well, like, what it mainly does is, like, us talking here on the radio, them listening to Shifra on the radio, that even though, despite we didn't have the Brendan Martin, we're still talking about Kerry ladies football. And that's down to Shifra and winning that All-Star on Saturday night. And so it gives us avenue to talk about it, to highlight it. And then they go, well, an All-Star, oh, girls can win the All-Stars as well. Because 2 weeks ago, we saw all the pictures of all the boys and how many All-Stars Kerry brought home and everything like that. So it just keeps the Kerry ladies football present and in the public eye. And for Shifra herself, I think it's another tick off the list, because compared to, say, some of her older counterparts, she has nearly won everything. I could be wrong in saying this. She's nearly won everything there is to win on for ladies football for Kerry. So I think maybe we need to start looking for the Player of the Year award now next for Shifra.
That'll be next year, fingers crossed, with a Brendan Martin beside it. Shifra, sorry to put pressure on you, I didn't mean to do that. What's the plan over the next couple of weeks? Do you have some well-earned downtime after a tough year? Are you training? Do you have any holiday planned or anything else before you get back on the pitch?
No, just back playing a bit of basketball for the last couple of weeks as well. So stuck in the middle of that with St. Paul's and playing away and tipping over in the gym. So, you know, keeping fit and ready to go when we start our pre-season there, probably the start of December. So ready to go for that. Yeah, I just want to say as well, it was a special weekend. My first cousin got married as well at the weekend, so we had a busy all weekend. And just, it was nice that I suppose my family and all were down here in Sneem. My mom and dad came up with me to the All-Stars, all right, but to have the rest of my family watching on the live stream, and, you know, my nana there with them, it was very special for them to be able to watch it and to celebrate down here when I was up in Dublin. So that made it extra special as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No training done this weekend, so we leave you off with that one in the race, Shifra. Shifra, look, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you. Enjoy the basketball's fair busy, a great start to the year as well. And look, best of luck with everything else between now and we might be chatting again come National League or whatever else comes around.
Thanks very much. Thanks.
Absolute pleasure. That's Shifra O'Shea. There are sole representative on the ladies All-Star team this year, and counting down to 7 o'clock fairly rapidly, but delighted to have Patrice Diggan and Rachel McCarthy on the line, of course, both named on the Soaring Stars in our Camogie as well after a great year. Patrice, I might just start with you. Look, well done on getting named to the team. You had a lovely evening out on Saturday, I believe. And again, nice to be recognised after what was a disappointing end to the year in the final as well.
Yeah, thanks very much. I suppose, yeah, look, it was nice to get the recognition. Probably didn't get what we wanted last August. Unfortunately, but sure, look, we'll just have to bottle that and drive on for next year, I suppose.
Yeah, but look, a fantastic year nonetheless to get to the intermediate final, a huge achievement. Rachel also on the line. You know, just chatted to Shifra O'Shea there, Rachel, and her All-Star, and similar here to be on the Soaring Star team of the year as well. You know, it is sort of that sort of personal recognition after a year where, you know, you just fell short in the final, but still nice to be kind of recognised by the governing body that, you know, you played your part in getting to that final this year.
Yeah, it is nice. It's a lovely weekend and it is nice to be recognised. But you know what? I suppose the best part of the weekend was seeing how much it meant to everyone else, like to our clubs and to our county and to our family and friends. Like, sure, we wouldn't be even nominated if it wasn't for them. Like, so yeah, it was nice to be named and it was a fabulous weekend for everyone, I think. It was really enjoyable.
It's nice to be able to don the glad rags at the end of the year to go off to these different things, isn't it? These award nights, oftentimes you kind of look at them as more of a hassle, but to only get out and get to them, they're a nice little occasion, and kind of it is sort of your reward, Rachel, for you know, training all year and probably remembering those wet days outside in North Kerry, getting ready for the different league games and everything else. So when it comes to the end of the season, you have something nice to celebrate as well.
Yeah, it was nice to get dressed up. We don't do it a lot, to be fair, as a group, so it was really lovely. And like that, yeah, I suppose you do reflect on those moments when you're up there, but like that, yeah, it was lovely. It was really nice.
Definitely. And Patrice, finally to you before we have to head for news at 7 o'clock. Just, I suppose, looking ahead to next year, again, is that kind of All-Ireland final to avenge that defeat? Is that sort of where you're looking at, and that's where your priorities are going into the new season? I presume you'll be back training sooner rather than later.
Yeah, look, we'll be getting back into it now in the next couple of weeks. And I suppose, yeah, like, we are looking at, like, obviously, look, everyone wants to be back in Croke Park next year, and, you know, that's probably the driving force. But I suppose the first thing we'd be looking at is the league. Like, if we even just reflected on this year, we saw what the winning did for Offaly. Like, they won the league, they went on, went did well in Leinster. You know, winning becomes a habit, so you want to just start off on the right foot, I suppose, next February when we go out and play our first league game. And I think the focus for the first few months will be on that league, and, you know, you'll get over that then and drive on for the next thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You move on to the next one. Look, Patrice, Mason, thanks very much for joining us. Well done again on being named on the Soaring Stars team of the year as well. And no doubt you'll be back there, and hopefully a step above next year as well. We have to head to news at 7 o'clock.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
We prepare and we go to our best. We put them under pressure. Being effective, being aggressive, winning the ball, getting on with the play, we'll put them under pressure.
Well, there you go. At around 4 o'clock yesterday, there was a collective smile across the island of Ireland, of course, with Troy Parrott's hat-trick goal in the 96th minute, booking Ireland's place in the World Cup playoffs. You'd swear today, by the way, people are chatting that we're booking our tickets for America. Not quite yet, but an extraordinary 4 days for Irish football and everybody associated with it. And I think collectively as a sport, soccer or football or whatever you want to call it, is definitely one of those ones that brings a nation together like none other. Well, delighted to be joined on the line by a freelance football journalist. That's Jonathan Higgins, good friend of the programme as well. Jonathan, you're welcome along. I suppose, look, you weren't in Budapest yesterday. I think we all wish we were out there, but simply incredible couple of days for Irish football, wasn't it?
It was. Jeez, thanks, Ivan. Welcome along. I think we're all on cloud nine, and you've nailed it there with the music coming in. And I think that Dara Maloney commentary will be turned out to be iconic. I think we'll be watching back that whoever's around in 20 years' time when they're doing Reeling in the Years or whatever variation of the show they want to call it. It is one of those I was there moments. Yeah, like I was on duty in on the club scene. I was in Pier Stadium yesterday afternoon, but my luck must have been in with me. I just said I would just finish up. I just filed the full time report. I had an empty Pier Stadium to myself, and I threw on the iPad, threw on the RT player, and the ball was just hovering back out to Keller, and I was like, this looks interesting. And the header on from Scales looks interesting. Oh wait, I was jumping around like a lunatic to myself. I think like the whole country was, but just iconic, magical. And I suppose the biggest thing is, no matter what is going to transpire over the playoff semi-final and or final, if we get that far, the spark is back in Irish football. And look, I think we all grew up primarily, didn't we, with Gaelic football in our bloods as we grew up initially, and that is our bread and our butter. But there's just something about the Irish football team that gets us all collectively together, and the spark, and you see all the Irish around the world in as well. It's just magical. And I suppose the good news is, I was lucky enough to be in the Aviva there on Thursday night when they got that magical result against Portugal. And the good news is, they've built on that little bit of fight, that little bit of spirit, the raw thing. And I suppose if you want to go in summary, Hamer has just, like good managers, he realised his mistake. He went back to basics. It's a far cry from the start of the campaign, but getting the likes of Coleman back in, and you know, getting a bit of old school grit and fight and everything that we pride ourselves on, and it proved a dividend. And yeah, I think we're all still on cloud nine. And if you could bottle this that emotion and sell, I think we'll be all millionaires, wouldn't we?
We could bottle it up for March anyway, because we'll definitely need it when these playoffs come around. Look, yesterday wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Thursday. It would have been a dead rubber, damn squid. You'd imagine we'd have been beaten outside in Hungary, you know, to put it lightly. But that doesn't happen unless Thursday happens. And to be fair, Thursday probably doesn't happen if you weren't beaten out in Yerevan by Armenia. So there's kind of... I don't know what it is with Irish football and kind of nine lives, but it's sort of a case of where the whole thing could have just petered out and Heimer would probably be on a plane back to Iceland and everything would be done and dusted. But all of a sudden that sort of belief came back in, beating, you know, Portugal with the stars that they have, including Ronaldo, who got an early shower in the Aviva as well. And then, like, if that doesn't happen kind of Thursday, as I mentioned, it doesn't kind of rumble on to Sunday then, and all of a sudden Sunday looked like it was dead and buried as well. But there is something about Irish football that just sucks you back in. And as much as we might sit and kind of give out and, you know, results haven't gone our way and we haven't qualified for World Cups in, you know, 13 years, you're kind of saying, you know, wow, like, you know, this thing is just never going to work out. And then all of a sudden, we're all sucked back in as a nation again. It's amazing how they can do it to us.
Yeah, it is. And look, I suppose it is a marathon in terms of the group campaign. And, like, you've touched on the low points of it there. But then you're touching back to moments that, you know, it's step by step, isn't it? Al Pacino, game by inches. You know, you're thinking back to the equaliser against Hungary. You're thinking back, and the one that comes into my head is the home game against Armenia. And without going off on a wild tangent, I had a couple of friends over from the UK, and I said, sure, look, I'll bring you over to the game here. This is on. We might enjoy it. You know, get into Lanzarone de Viva, and it was probably the worst 90 minutes of football we've ever had to endure. But Evan Ferguson, who is pretty much out of the limelight as things stand, with just the last, I suppose, the crazy week that Troy Parrott had, but he bundled one home, I think, almost off his backside from the corner, got the vital goal. And how important has that proved out to be? Mm-hmm. The red cards, you know, the one against Hungary as well, there was one in that game. I know Edo missed an absolute sitter, not quite a sitter, but a sitter by his standards, for Armenia in the home leg as well. And, you know, you're thinking of small moments that have just got over the line and allowed us, like, it was always going to be the scenario, could we get into this final two last games, this last camp, and be able to shout hands up. I think we all thought we were a done deal, a broken docket after the Armenia game away, but they found a way, and my God, they deliver. And yeah, Thursday night was massive. It was really crazy. Now, I think it was probably not quite helped, but Portugal were just off it on Thursday night. Now, maybe it's the reflection of just how good Ireland were in terms of the roll up the sleeves and the game plan. To be fair, although it was basic, it's pretty agricultural, it did the job, and they had Troy Parrott in form, and, like, what's that, five goals in a games, couple of days, yeah, of football. Like, Irish football hasn't seen them since, while we're looking back at Robbie Keane even. Yeah. And even still, you know, you're talking at the prime Robbie Keane as well. So yeah, goals win games, don't they, and all that, but it's just momentum. And then, like, you always felt there was going to be a moment at the end of the game, but we'll see now how you touched on it. We have to calm ourselves down and look ahead to March, the semi-final. I think it's imperative, really, if we find a way, by the grace of God, to somehow find a way into pot two with the seedings, if they can be our friend, the calculations can go our way. That will make a big difference, because that'll be a home semi-final at the Aviva, and look, as Thursday night shown, as we referenced a good bit, that could potentially make a big difference if it is at home.
Yeah, I think, again, you'd need a maths degree from Trinity to figure out how the pots are going to be decided in seeding, but I think we're all supporting North Macedonia tonight against Wales, if they can manage to win that. Yeah, there we go. But I won't be going through permutations. But they talk about buzzer beaters in sport, Jonathan, and, like, you know, you kind of you think about different you know, moments throughout the years. Michael Jordan, you think of late putts by McIlroy and playoff wins and everything else. Like, but, you know, to score right at the death, I think Ronan O'Gara was mentioned a couple of times as well. You had Robbie Brady against Italy in the Euros. The late goal effect is just incredible, and that's where we're seeing these kind of videos from, the famous one from Dublin Airport. There's a good one going around from down here from Kerry Airport as well. They didn't open security until the game was over for the flight back to Dublin. And, you know, there's different videos doing the rounds at the bars and everything else. as sport goes, I mean, we can watch people make 147s, 9 darters. I think your team scoring with the last kick of the game in those sort of circumstances to either qualify or to win something, like, I just feel sorry for people who aren't interested in sport and what they miss out on these occasions, because it's this euphoric sense, you know, that everything else in your life kind of gets put away for those couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, you're asking the wrong man to see what would you be like without sport, because I'm a self-confessing more than yourself. I'm a self-confessed sports addict. I went across and started watching the NFL after last night as well, just to give you an indication. But yeah, no, it is. And I suppose, look, it is such a moment, the fact that it's become the conversation in all facets of our society today. You've been looking at the game, you've been talking about the game. I'm not sure how much work was actually done today. Did we just watch the goal over and over again? That is just those moments that catches it all. But I suppose if you look at it just with the cold light of day, the fact that it is the buzzer killer, that there's no time left, and you could just see the reaction of the Hungarian players, that they just dropped to the ground. They knew that was the moment gone away for them, because as Dara rightly pointed out, they had been hanging on a bit, and you know, the bit of time wasted and everything that goes with it. And look, it's natural enough, and there's a goal being referenced, I better not say it here, but a certain All-Ireland back in the
don't
day.
Don't mention it, please.
But it is that type of moment, isn't it? Isn't it really, where it's just, there's no time to react. It's a sucker punch. It's that fist right on the bell, or whatever way you want to call it. There's just no coming back from it, and then emotionally, more than anything, it as well as the clock, it just kills you. And yeah, special. I think Eamonn referenced it as, it's a lovely time to score, isn't it? It is. You put your nerves through the ringer a bit, but yeah, it's just because you just can't help going back and be like a little child again. And I suppose, isn't that, I've gone off on a slight tangent there as well, Ivan, isn't it great now that the youngsters now have their moments that we had growing up with, mm-hmm. 1994, and then a few more with the Euros to lesser extents, but that they've got that, and that's the spark, that's the oxygen that Irish football needs just to come up. Because look, we don't get too much again off tension, but it has been a very dour place, and talk about off-field shenanigans and accounts and dodgy pockets here and there, and then the fight with the league and everything like that. And you know, it was great to see a couple of lads, you know, being involved that had come through. Johnny Kenny coming on for his debut, and then Liam Scales as well. Like, both of those have been playing in the League of Ireland, mm-hmm. up until quite recently as well. So again, another small little sign of the positive growth. But yeah, no, Jesus, that moment, that buzzer killer. Lovely when it goes your way, isn't it?
Yeah, well, definitely when it goes your way. We've been on the wrong end of them as well. You know, funny you mentioned there, and obviously I feel like we're talking about after qualifying for the World Cup today, and I think as a nation, that's what it feels like, but I know there's another two big games to go. But, you know, it is funny how important the World Cup is. Obviously 2002 was a long time ago. I remember it well, with the TVs being rolled out in school. Obviously we'd early morning games, and there was one on, I think the Cameroon game was a Saturday morning as far as I remember, but we had actually a guy in a work experience here with us for a couple of weeks, and he was 19, and we're talking about the under 17 World Cup, where Ireland are going very, very well at the moment, but he was watching it as if it was the senior, because he said, I've never seen Ireland play in a World Cup. And obviously we had the ladies there a couple of years ago, which is fantastic from a men's point of view. He was watching it kind of religiously, like we'd be watching a World Cup, and it's just how the country kind of goes mad. And I often hear stories of my parents talk about kind of Italian 90 and everything else, and their memories from all of it. Like, football as a sport, and I know we've had great success at rugby and everything else, and the whole country does tend to sit down and watch when Ireland are playing in a World Cup and rugby and everything else, but there's something about a football World Cup that can kind of just bring in the neutrals, and I think we've seen that a small bit today with kind of people who aren't usually into the football chat that we'd be having here in the office, for all of a sudden lending their hand, which is great, and it's great for a country maybe that, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been fantastic news-wise or everything else. It's great to have that sort of positive story, but going that next step and actually qualifying for a World Cup, we could be in for one hell of a summer next year if they can pull it off.
Yeah, we'll all get the camper vans, will we?
We have to get them on a ferry to America, that's the problem.
It'll be a long ferry, wouldn't it? But look, that's the type of calculations, isn't it? Like, we've been all around Europe for Liverpool games together and stuff like that, and you're trying to work out routes, and you're trying to work out trains, buses and automobiles, isn't that what they say? But look, wouldn't it be great to have that scrambled again? I know you do have to have that bit of air of caution, just to, it is still quite a difficult challenge to get over the line, and hopefully we will, and look, the World Cup there. The fact that it's in America as well. Like, it's relatively manageable in terms of flights and whatnot, you know, direct routes from a lot of places. And then, of course, the time zone will be fairly friendly as well. And let's hope it won't be a Christmas World Cup like we had a couple of years ago as well. But, yeah, no, look, the World Cup is just one of those top iconic series of sport events that I think everyone stops and gets hold of. And, you know, you think back to 94 and just how special. Remember that Ray Houghton going on? It was actually great to hear Ray completely lose his marbles again, coming around full circle, really, wasn't it? I thought that the two of them, you got to love how unprofessional they've gone. I mean that as the biggest compliment you gave. They just picture the moment perfectly. There's a good version of it going around as well. There's some Brazilian boy who seems to roar goal for about 5 minutes.
And it got merged, I think, with the Icelandic commentary when they knocked England out of the Euros as well. We'll see multiple versions of that goal for a long time as well, I think.
We will. It's one of those moments. Now, let's hope it is, as you touched on there, let's hope it is one of those moments that proves to be the key moment and that it is a step on a journey, not just a little bit of bitter disappointment when March comes around. I think Thursday, I think, is the draw, isn't it? So we'll have a better idea then how things are shaping up, and if we are all going up to the big smoke to try and get and pack out of the Aviva Stadium again.
Yeah, but I suppose, Jonathan, I know we'll probably know exactly come maybe 10 or 11 o'clock tonight when the international window finishes up this evening when those games, we'll know exactly what pot we're in and who we could potentially play yet. So I won't ask you about any kind of permutations of who we might be playing. We'll know tomorrow. We'll see it all up on social media and everything else. But look, there's talks of Italy are kind of in there. Slovakia are around there. There's Poland are in there. There's some, you know, big teams as well. So this isn't kind of a, you know, beating Estonia like we did a couple of years ago, or Bosnia, sort of teams would be maybe similar ranked. We might be lucky with the draw, but read a fact today that Ireland haven't won 5 competitive games since the 1980s, I think, if I'm correct, in a row, and that's what we'll have to do to qualify. We've 2 more to go after the last 3, so this still is an uphill task, but again, being this far was a miracle, so kind of you can see where the excitement comes from, but a lot of work to do over kind of 4 or 5 days in March if we are to be heading to America, Canada and Mexico for the World Cup.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like the draw, you touch on, you're right, really sensibly, just to avoid that conversation until we find out what's happening, because there's just so many variables and so many calculations. But look, I think the key thing really here is if we can get them in Aviva Stadium, I think it'll make a big difference. Get them out to Lansdowne Road, get the atmosphere. I think that's almost imperative. We can manage it all. Failing that, you want a short little spin, don't you? You'd be looking at ideally trying to get the Scots or the Welsh, you know, something like that, where we still feel like we have an absolute chance with them. And then it's a short little hop and a skip across to try and pack out the away. And I suppose it's going to be special no matter what. But yeah, no, we'll all keep an eye. We'll be keeping an eye on random games, I think, tonight as well, us nerds that you wouldn't normally be watching. But we will keep an eye, and as you said, we'll have a better idea how things shape up, and then just to start to get the credit union books out, hopefully, and letting us all start to dream a bit.
Yeah, I think the Clarny Credit Union put up an AI photograph of a lot of people standing outside their premises this morning, yeah, saying people were coming in for the loans. Look, fingers crossed, and as you said, look at Jonathan, I think the buzz, as you mentioned, is back in Irish football. I think that's the kind of, you know, as you mentioned it there, and I suppose down this side we've had, you know, Kerry FC the last 3 full seasons as well, so kind of that kind of soccer buzz is definitely around the county, and that's our League of Ireland buzz. You're well used to it up there in Galway yourself as well, and you know, seeing those players come through the league and everything else. And you know, you touched on it there lightly enough, and we don't want to go into the bank accounts of the FAI and that kind of black hole you can go down, but you know, a positive news story in amongst that kind of Irish football or soccer, if you want to call it that, you know, it's definitely what the sport needed, I think, around the place, and kind of getting those neutrals back on board, the people who, you know, as I said in the office today, are sharing pictures with us that, you know, they'd never be interested in the Liverpool or United talk that goes on in the office here. They're kind of just, everyone's kind of getting back on that sort of buzz, and that's important too for the sport and the growth of it in the country as well.
Yeah, I suppose, again, if you want to take that out of strand, like the League of Ireland here internally, domestically, has had a renaissance the last couple of years, and prime example is yourselves there, flying it, and I think that cup tie against Sligo Rovers will go down to Fort Clare.
Another buzzer beater, Jonathan. 116th minute there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. Exactly. Another magical night. Another story. But that's what you need. You need those moments for to people catch on, young and old, to come through and to grow that excitement and get people coming back and get that growth. And look, with the potentially the third tier to come as well, and football being spread out a bit more, and that's one of the main things that has been very proactive with, and that's why I was kind of delighted selfishly that us Galway United stayed in the Premier Division, but also then as well that Waterford did as well, because with Cork going down, you need football stretched out. It just can't be the Dublin teams over and over, and that in 50 inside corridor, and you have about 45 Dublin derbies a year. Football has to be spread out to the four corners, and the buzz comes around, and that's why I'm absolutely delighted to see you guys doing so well. And I think under Colin Healy, and you're going to go to, you know, top class coach. Speaking of World Cup drama, hey, we won't go down. But it is great to see that. A long may that continue. And you know, it's been a magical couple of days. And you touched on the under 17s there, and that loudmouth in goal for Canada.
It's only a distant memory now after everything that we've had the last couple of days.
So much, yeah. The under 21s were put up a decent shouting as well
against
England as well. And you know, there's a good bit more to come. And look, that's what we need. We are a nation of sports mad bandwagoners. So if we can keep it going, and hopefully now that the spark is there, and like you would say, as an overview, no matter what happens now, even if March doesn't go our way, that belief is there, and I'm sure they'll notice in terms of season tickets or whatever ticket sales will come across. And the Viva won't just be sold because people want to get a photograph of Ronaldo.
No, that was kind of the biggest problem, I think.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of Muppets around me as well, even in terms of that kind of type of setup. But the less of that we can steer out, and look, we're all Premier League fans across the water as well. But you can have your allegiance there, and you can very much have your allegiance here with your local League of Ireland side as well, and you know, and get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And so that's the key, really, isn't it? And special nights, special memories, special conversations, and let's hope this is just the start of a special journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan, we're out of time, unfortunately. Thanks very much as ever for popping on, and you never know, we might have you back in March telling us the best routes to get to America and everywhere else.
Yeah, we'll do a travel show, will we?
We will, absolutely. Jonathan, fair play to you. Much appreciated. John Higgins there, freelance football journalist from County Galway, but all up on things World Cup and Ireland after what a fantastic result that was for the country yesterday. And we'll be chatting to the man. I don't know, do you spot it in the crowd yesterday? It's come up a couple of times at the big away games as well. Is that Kerry FC and QPR on an Ireland flag at these international games? But we'll be chatting to one of the men who carry that flag to all these places around Europe after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Now, sticking with the theme of Ireland and that huge win out in Budapest, delighted to be joined on the line by a man who was in the Puskas Arena yesterday, but novelly enough with an Ireland flag that has both our local Kerry FC's crest and QPR in London. We'll ask him how all that came together in a minute. Danny Hurley, you're welcome to the programme first and foremost. Can you describe what the scenes were like inside in the stadium for the last maybe 60 seconds of that game?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't really believe what I got to experience. It was just absolute bedlam. It was crazy. When that goal went in, I don't think I've ever seen an away end like it. It was grown men crying, tops off, hugging strangers. It was just absolutely crazy. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Yeah, we got a clip of we saw one clip of the fans, but they quickly went back to Paris and everyone else out on the pitch. I was just chatting to a journalist there a couple of minutes ago, Danny, and he was just saying, like, you know, that sort of, if you want to call it, buzzer beater, that last minute goal, you know, we're all football fans here, that kind of euphoria that comes with that, it really is hard to describe to someone who maybe isn't, you know, hugely interested in football, and what that kind of does for you, and that you know, that nail biting for 90 minutes to probably giving up, to thinking about the journey home, to all of a sudden you didn't want to get out of the stadium.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think, especially for us Ireland fans, we don't really get those moments very often. So when they do come around, you appreciate it even more. But yeah, like I said, I've been lucky to kind of see football all over the world, but I don't think I've ever really experienced anything like that. I did last night. It was just absolutely crazy. Grown men crying. The whole away end was just going absolutely crazy. The celebrations afterwards when the full-time whistle went was just... It was non-stop. It was absolutely mental.
Yeah. Tell me a small bit about the flag. We've seen it up now at a couple of games. It often comes up on the television of the Kerry FC logo and the QPR logo. I think a lot of people might be interested in hearing the story and how that all came about.
Yeah. So I'm from London, from an Irish family. So we used to always go to Kerry when I was younger. Also have like a strong connection to Kerry. I'd go home and away with QPR. We have quite a strong Irish connection, being like West London as well. So I've always had tricolours kind of going to games, and then always been a League of Ireland fan. But as you'll know yourself as well, football's always better when you've got a kind of an actual connection to a club. Mm-hmm. So I've gone to games, kind of watched games of League of Ireland as a neutral. They've always been brilliant. But obviously when Kerry got announced, I was absolutely buzzing about it. I thought this is going to be my team. And it's a group of us lads at QPR that all kind of keep an eye on the results of Kerry, I've got family from Kerry. We all travel to the Ireland away games. So for me, it just made sense. The Kerry FC, QPR sort of connection. And it's always a good conversation starter as well. The whole weekend, like, lads in the pub are asking about it. You kind of see all your normal flags with Bows, Shamrock Rovers, Shells, all kind of the slightly bigger clubs. Mm-hmm. But when I see Kerry FC on a flag, everyone's kind of questioning. I think they kind of got a bit more respect for you as well, supporting a very new team.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'd say your accent probably leads to more conversations then as well, which is great. So the Kerry FC badge has kind of gone to the majority of the Ireland away games in the last couple of years, which is great.
Yeah, it's been all over. So it's been absolutely brilliant to see. Kind of, obviously, you get a lot of random questions when you're in the middle of absolutely nowhere in Bulgaria and you've got a Kerry FC badge. But yeah, it's been all over, and hopefully, long may it continue. And hopefully, next year it might be going to America as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Have any of your group managed to get to Mount Park to a game yet?
Yeah. So we've done a couple of games. We're hoping to kind of do a big group one beginning of next season. We try and get there as much as we can. We've got lads that are kind of always keeping an eye out for results, always chatting about it on a Saturday when we all meet up at QPR. So we want to try to do like a group trip, hopefully beginning of next season.
Yeah, and that flag will definitely have to be hung up in Mount Hall Park when you are over, and everyone might be asking about the QPR connection, and it might work the opposite way. As a whole, just kind of following Ireland, like, you know, there's obviously so many ups and downs, but I'd imagine, you know, the defeats, the likes of Yerevan and places like that, you know, a night like last night kind of makes up for a lot of those, I'd imagine, for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all the kind of the miles you travelled, all the early flights, all the ridiculous amount of money that you spend going to kind of relatively pointless games and friendlies. And obviously, you book a lot of these trips up in advance, kind of hoping that they kind of mean something. And unfortunately, a lot of time in Ireland, they kind of don't really mean anything by the time it comes around. Like, we booked up this trip months ago, kind of as soon as it got announced, before, at the very least, it will be just a good laugh, a weekend away, a good city for a beer and everything like that. Obviously, thankfully, for what happened on Thursday night, it actually meant something. And then we kind of got a result that none of us could even like dream of. It's absolutely crazy. As hard as it is, sometimes following Ireland, I wouldn't change it for the world. I think just like those sorts of moments, those last minute goals, just as a football fan, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, hard to kind of put into words and describe it. Obviously, look, all of us have one step in the American side at the moment. We do have to kind of bring ourselves back down, a semi-final and a final to go. But belief will be massive amongst the travelling Irish support now, and everyone's hoping for a home semi-final. And imagine a lot of you could be hoping for another away trip and maybe for the playoff final as well. But nonetheless, kind of, you know, 180 minutes away from the World Cup, and I'm sure there'll be prayers said over the next couple of months regarding whatever draw we get, and looking forward to the games as well.
Oh, Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think last that Armenia game, the kind of the difference in how we all feel about it. I mean, after the game yesterday, when that whistle went, I mean, I think the 3,000 or so of us there, we sort of felt like we could take on anyone at that stage. It was just, I still think, I mean, I'm probably still a bit delirious from yesterday and lack of sleep and a few too many beers over the weekends. But I still think we could do it. A home tie, get a big result, and then in a final, you never know, do you? Anything can happen.
No, absolutely. And that's all part of the Irish experience thing, those kind of ups and downs, and fingers crossed. It's two more ups over the next two games. Danny, look, a pleasure chatting to you, and thanks very much for taking the time out. I'm surprised you have such a voice left, to be totally honest. Enjoy the next couple of days and kind of that excitement waiting for the draw. And fingers crossed, the Kerry FC flag will be heading for the World Cup in America in a couple of months' time as well.
Hope so. Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
No, absolute pleasure. That's Danny Hurley there, and man from London, of course, but big Kerry FC and QPR fan. And you've seen the flag. If not, we might throw it up on our social media page a little later on. It's a huge tricolour, in fairness, massive flag. And on one side has the QPR logo, of course, from London. And on the other side is our very own Kerry FC. And as Danny said, a welcome visitor to, of course, to Mount Hawk Park as well, to support Kerry FC. So a bit of a unique story there for you. And fingers crossed, we said that the Kerry FC badge could be making its way to the World Cup next year. But we Heimer Hal Grimson to pray for in the next couple of months, and fingers crossed said the planes, trains and automobiles will be heading across the Atlantic for the World Cup in a couple of months time, but March we'll have a lot to tell before that then as well. Just a couple of ones to note, and really appreciate loads of texts coming in offering their sympathies as well, and really appreciate those messages coming in to Kathleen, to Charles, to Dermot and Margaret Ann. I really appreciate those messages. There's one from Kathleen Fitzgerald here. Is congratulations to Rachel McCarthy, Aoife Fitzgerald, Jackie Horgan and Patrice Diggan, who received their Camogie Soaring Star Awards at the function in Croke Park on Saturday night. That's a great night of celebration. That's from Kathleen Fitzgerald. And Charles in touch, of course, as well, with a couple of messages at the screen refresh. Yeah, it was incredible turnaround since that defeat in Armenia. Troy Parrott is getting all the headlines and he deserves it, but Quivín Kelleher has been our saviour. Yeah, definitely agree with that, Charles, as well. He thinks that maybe there is a penalty shootout or two ahead of Ireland. I don't think my nails would last a couple of penalty shootouts as well. Best wishes to and a speedy recovery to Cian Tobin, of course, who was injured in the Spock Crokes match on Saturday. And yeah, we definitely echo those sentiments as well. So yeah, it's important that we wish Cian well, and Liam and John said that a little earlier on as well. We've got another message from the Gardaí in Listowel. They're looking for the public's help in finding a small black car that failed to stop after colliding with two vehicles. One of the crashes has resulted in a woman being brought to University Hospital Kerry. The crash happened at 4:20 this afternoon. The black car was travelling from Ferrybank to Ballyduff and crashed into a car travelling in the same direction. The driver of the car, a woman, had to be brought to UHK. The black car then crossed the road and collided with a van. The occupants of the van were not injured. This small black car did not stop. It headed in the direction of Ballyduff. Gardaí believe it went either the North Coast Road or the Lay Road. This small black car would have considerable damage. If you have any information or any dash cam footage, you're asked to contact the Listowel Garda Station on 068 50820. That's 068 50820, and that's a notice from Gardaí in Listowel. They're looking for a small black car who failed to stop after a collision. Thankfully, nice to hear that everyone relatively safe after that incident. But if anyone has any information or spotted that car after 20 past 4 this afternoon, contact Listowel Garda Station on 068 50820. It'll be back to sport after this quick break, and we'll be chatting to Ben Murphy, who's heading for Brisbane in the next couple of months.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Now, so you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. And we're delighted to be joined in the studio by Ben Murphy, one of the latest rising Gaelic football stars to make that kind of big leap, to be fair, down to the Aussie Rules and the AFL, of course, after signing with the Brisbane Lions. Delighted that Ben has popped into the studio, one of his last acts before he jets down to Australia. Ben, look, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk, and I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time to come in. Congratulations, I suppose, first of all. That's probably the big thing to say, really, is that it's a huge move, and I suppose to kind of get scouted and everything else, it says a lot about your footballing abilities, so well done. I suppose, just out of complete interest more than anything else, you know, how does it come around? I know the combines kind of took place and everything else, but how does it go this a fella in Tralee gets a phone call from the Brisbane Lions as you're wanted below there?
Yeah, actually, for me, it was kind of different to everyone else. Normally, you kind of go to combines and stuff, but I didn't do any. I didn't do any testing or anything. Mm. It was just after a game with the minors, we were after playing Roscommon, and he just came over to me after the game, and we kind of got talking, and it kind of kept building up from there, and now here we are.
Right. So is that similar to kind of what we know as the scouting system kind of in England with the soccer, that kind of they send, you know, different fellas out to different matches and watching, or they obviously watch you from a distance, but is that kind of an element of it where these guys can kind of come along and they're watching you up close?
Yeah, majority of the time, most minor games, like there'd be two or three AFL scouts in the stands kind of watching to see who's kind of coming up through the ranks, who they could snatch.
Yeah, that's interesting to know, yeah, because it's obviously they're earmarking Ireland for young footballers, and obviously the skills do transition into their sport down there. So I suppose when kind of, obviously that was the initial talk, and then they're obviously chatting more and more to you, so you obviously got a feel for Brisbane as opposed to anyone else. I think the most well-known probably around here is probably Geelong with the kind of Mark O'Connor connection, but the Brisbane Lions another one. So was it an easy enough sell to you, or was there more knocking the door, kind of offering you different packages, or was it always Brisbane?
It was actually a tough enough decision. Now, I actually don't know how I kind of came to the decision. I just kind of felt in my gut that it was the right decision. So yeah, I was actually kind of chatting to Geelong a bit as well, so pick Brisbane over them anyways.
The partnership on the opposite side of the field in the county final could have been a team partnership in Geelong. So look, obviously kind of a move to Australia is tough. A lot of my friends are down there from kind of school time. It's sort of the place to be going at the moment, so you'll be surrounded by plenty of Kerry people over there as well, which will lend their support. Talk to me a small bit now. Obviously, you're heading this week. So, what's kind of the next steps? Do they kind of put you up over there? Is it a lot of training? How much do you know at this stage?
Yeah, I'm heading off now on Wednesday. So I'm over on the 20th, and I'll start pre-season then the 24th. So I've kind of four days to get over kind of the jet lag and stuff. And then I'm actually staying with an Irish fella, Conor McKenna from Tyrone, up until Christmas, until I kind of find my feet over there, and it's kind of straight into pre-season. And the 24th.
And I presume it's your sort of full time job then when you're training here. There's no sort of, is there working in a coffee shop or a supermarket, or are you kind of fully focused on your football? Is that sort of the packet they offer to lads going down there?
Yeah, I know, your sole focus going over there is the football. There's no kind of side job now, it's just the football.
It is sort of the dream job. Like, I often talk with the lads with Kerry FC and the soccer and kind of getting, you know, paid to play the football. It is a nice little sort of packet for you. You can go over, you can fully focus on your gym and, you know, your fitness and everything else. It is attractive, like, and you see the crowds, you often watch it, it's streamed here in Ireland, it's that big, and, you know, you watch the big ovals and they're packed with fans and everything else. You know, it is sort of a dream, sort of a scenario to get picked up and go down there as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the lifestyle is one of the kind of most attractive parts of going over there as well. It's kind of
the weather and everything else.
But the lifestyle is kind of the number one thing for me, yeah.
Yeah, of course. And that's kind of an important side of it as well. And as we mentioned, there's kind of so many gone down to Australia as it is. You know, I'm sure you'd probably know plenty of others down there. As you mentioned, we're going with Connor from Tyrone, but there's so many from Kerry. And I'm sure the Irish in Brisbane will be out supporting you when you hopefully make your debut for them as well.
hopefully now, hopefully the debut won't be long coming, but...
Yeah, it's a big draw for the Irish to the AFL to watch it over there as well. I know a lot of lads down there, and my Instagram kind of to be full of it during the winter months of the winter over there of them at the football matches. It's a good Irish continue to go to watch it as well, so hopefully you get good support from the Kerry faithful down there. I suppose just as a sport then kind of getting used to it, obviously we're new rules here and everything else with Gaelic football, so a new set of everything to get used to. As a spectator sport, it is fairly easy to watch. Few heavier tackles, I suppose, in Gaelic football, number one, and probably number two, the ball then is probably the hardest one to get used to as well, is it?
Yeah, probably the number one thing about getting used to is probably the ball. Like, it's kind of, it's similar enough in a lot of ways to Gaelic football, but I think the ball is kind of the number one thing that'll take a bit of getting used to.
Yeah, you're talking kind of the oval, really, isn't it? It's that red football we're kind of used to seeing. If you watch the AFL on the telly, it's that kind of red rugby ball shape, isn't it? It's I wonder what it's like to kick, and so you'll find out fairly quickly. But that will take a small bit of adapting, but obviously you've got your fitness and your football skills from here that, you know, will work a treat for you. And we've seen the Irish do so well, the likes of Ty Kennelly and obviously Mark Connor, just to name from a Kerry point of view, and, you know, they've adapted to it well. Have you kind of had those that's kind of reached out to you and given you that sort of maybe a bit of life advice for when we go down there and what to do?
Yeah, I've met up with the majority of them, all right. I've met up with Mark and Killian from Geelong, and I've met up with Rob as well from Carlton. I actually went kicking with him a few times during the last kind of month or so
yeah,
before he headed back over. He headed about 2 weeks ago,
so right.
I was kind of kicking with him a bit, kind of getting used to it.
Yeah, it'll just take that small bit of time, I suppose. So you go in as a rookie, so there is sort of that kind of B team football and competitive matches probably to get you up to speed, and what's the hope then? Would you hope to get your kind of first team debut this year?
Hopefully now, but that's kind of unrealistic now, in fairness, kind of getting a debut this year. It's called a VFL team.
Okay.
It's kind of treated as like a development team to try to bring players through to the AFL team. So it's not taken too serious. It's kind of treated as development league, really, the VFL.
Yeah, and are you training them with kind of the top lads in Brisbane? Then are you kind of brought in maybe not every session, but would you be kind of in training with the big senior kind of group as well?
No, you're training with the AFL team, all the kind of big players, like, but it's just on match day then you kind of go to the B team virtually.
Yeah, and still big crowds of them, because we often see them kind of being streamed and everything else. Ben, I'm just conscious we have to go to an ad break, so what we'll do, we'll take a break and we might talk a little bit about Austin Stacks and the year you had there after this quick break.
Perfect, thanks.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Make magical memories this Christmas at Sandyfeed Farm. Santa waits in his cosy cottage with a gift and open arms. At Elf School, you'll play and have festive fun, earning your nice list certificate before the day is done. Then gather around for a story under twinkling light the night before Christmas is read. What a delight! Capture moments cuddling farm animals after you play. Then enjoy hot cocoa and treats in our cosy cafe. Book your magical Santa visit at sandyfeedfarm.ie today.
Do you need office furniture or office supplies? Maybe you need a reliable supply of inks and toners. Well, if you also want the best prices and expert service, then call Office and Ink on 066 719 4837 or visit Unit 11 Westside, Mona Valley Industrial Estate, Tralee. Officeandink.ie.
Feeling low on energy? Do you need a recharge? Forget the coffee. Fix the real problem. Hello, Fred here from Last Furnishings. You know, a great night's sleep starts with a great mattress. Find yours today during our mattress promotion. Now on at Last Furnishings, Dunplacker, the Stole Road to Lee. Because recharging is not just for phones.
Being homeless, it's not a dry sleeping bag or blankets that keep you going. It's actually a small act of kindness. Somebody who sees you, you know? That's real warmth.
At just 19, Mark found himself homeless, living in a car.
The cold was a killer. Damp blankets, ice on the inside of the car.
Every kind word, every donation, you're reminding someone that they still belong. Visit corksimon.ie today. Give what you can and make your community a warmer place this Christmas.
Ever imagine yourself behind a mic or working in media? Want to know what it's really like to make radio, produce podcasts, or work in a newsroom or sports? On Friday, November 28th, Radio Kerry is opening its doors from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Whether you're after a fresh start, a creative change, or a media graduate looking to bridge that gap into employment, come meet us. Join our Journalism, Podcasting and Radio Open Day ahead of the January 2026 course. No fees apply. Tour the studios, meet the team and get hands-on with real broadcast equipment.
Hi, I'm Kaya Flynn. I started this course with zero radio experience. But from day one, we were in the studio learning real skills. That hands-on training gave me the confidence I needed, and now I'm presenting on air and creating digital content for Radio Kerry.
To book your place at the Open Day, just email cbroderick@radiokerry.ie. Ready to apply? You'll find the course details at kerrycollege.ie.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're in the company of Ben Murphy, who's heading to Brisbane this week after signing for the Lions. I suppose, Ben, we were just chatting a small bit off air there as well about the Mark O'Connor connection, that kind of stacks Dingle. Just from a club point of view, probably a disappointing way to end the county championship this year. He came so close to it, but it just seems to be kind of Dingle's day. I was saying that to you when we landed in, that kind of wet day and everything else. But a very young team in Stacks will go a long way next year as well, won't they?
Hopefully, you know, yeah, kind of from the off, kind of even felt like Dingle's game playing like they were after losing. I think they were losing four finals and semi-finals, that kind of bunch alone.
So yeah,
I think they probably wanted it a bit more than us. Like they kind of, it was kind of one of their last years as well to kind of go for it. Like,
yeah, it's you know, you couldn't kind of begrudge them a win, really, and that's coming from a Crokes fan this side as well. It's kind of a, you know, in fairness to them, it was a long time coming. But that Stacks team, you know, you look at the names there and everything else, and I know they'll be minus you next year, but you're kind of looking that they'll be well up there again next year for a good tilt at it. And I think obviously the senior club championship was kind of disappointing for you last year as well, so I'm sure that'll be a target before the county championship as well, before them, I'd say.
It is, yeah, and there's a young enough core kind of in that Stacks team as well, so yeah, they'll be kicking along for a long time. Like,
yeah, definitely. So you're off out on Wednesday, you're starting to train then fairly quickly, so it's a fairly hectic training schedule. Again, we were chatting during the ad break there, it's fairly full on, really. There's not much time to rest up between sessions or anything else. There's a lot expected of kind of a professional athlete, I suppose, if you wanted to call it that.
Yeah, it's, you're kind of training 6 days a week, 5.5 days a week. You've one day off and that's the Wednesday, like, and then kind of do every second day is kind of one hard session, one lighter, and then until game day, so.
Until game day. And the season kind of kicks off in, is it February time?
January, February, around then, yeah.
Yeah, and you're heading in, that's kind of the end of the so-called summer in Australia, but there's, I think it's good weather nearly all year round. And
it's a warm enough winter anyway. So.
Yeah, it's not as cold as here anyway. I suppose, Ben, like, you know, you've worn the Kerry jersey, kind of minor and the under 20 level and everything else, and, you know, there obviously is a lot of people out there that'll kind of say, like, Joe, you know, oh, you could be playing for senior and you could have played for Kerry and, you know, won the Sam Maguire and everything else, but you're still so young. Like, there is obviously a great chance for you to come back and do that, and that's obviously, I'd imagine, well in your plans as well, that you might come back and wear the senior green and gold jersey one day. Like, this kind of isn't a be all and end all. You can kind of go over and give it a try. It might work out, it mightn't kind of work out, but those opportunities are still kind of there for you in the future, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So I've signed for 2 years, so even if I don't like it after them 2 years, like, I'll be coming back and I'm 20 years of age. So hopefully I could go back into this, the kind of Kerry setup then. So yeah, it's definitely like in my future plans to play with Kerry in the future. Like,
yeah, but you kind of do have to take these chances when they're kind of throwing to you as well, aren't they? And when Brisbane do come knocking at such a young age, you're only out of school and you have a chance to go playing football professionally, you do kind of have to take it, don't you?
Yeah,
very hard to say no to that.
It was hard enough to say no to it, but yeah, it's disappointing leaving Kerry, but it's hard enough to say no now.
Yeah, but new adventure, and you know, there's so many doing it. Look, from everybody here, we wish you all the very best. We'll be up maybe early at night or late at night, keeping an eye on the Brisbane Lions as well as we are for Mark and Geelong, and there's always kind of a close connection here. We watch you close in your progress, Ben, and we do wish you all the very best, and thanks for popping in on there a busy couple of days packing the bags.
Thanks for having me now.
No, thanks. Absolute pleasure. Thanks to Ben for popping in, and thanks to Danny Hurley, who was chatting all things Ireland along with Jonathan Higgins, and of course to the lads in the first hour talking about the district championships, and to Siobhan O'Shea and her all-star as well, Breed O'Shea, who was chatting the ladies all-stars, and to Patrice Tiggin and Rachel McCarthy as well. A busy Terrace Talk this evening. We'll be back again next Monday evening. Mary Conroy's up next with Tog Sauce, and as I said, we'll be back next Monday evening from 6 to 8 o'clock.